You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
So over the weekend, Tongan Rugby League supporters faced some arguably racist flak from police officers who confiscated flagpoles from consolidating fans. Lillian Hanley has more.
Over the past few weeks, there has been much coverage of the overkill by the police in South Auckland during the Rugby League World Cup. There has also been overkill by the media around the, quote, possible violence, unquote, that may occur. There has been criticism around whether the same amount of police force would be used in different parts of Auckland, and comparisons have been made with the Lions Tour as well as the pop-up community events that were planned very quickly following the America's Cup win. This weekend, police were out in huge numbers in what they called was a significant police presence in order to take a zero-tolerance approach to anyone putting the community in danger. Jamie Wall wrote in the spin-off describing how Saturday night was called a major operation by police and whether that was really necessary. The community responded to the overwhelming police presence, saying it was oppressive, alarming, and bizarre. People weren't sure why the police were confiscating alcohol out of cars driving up Mangere Road under the guise of public safety when there were at least 8 alcohol outlets open between Otahuhu and Mangere town centres. The main issue that has been discussed following Saturday's game is the confiscation of flagpoles because of the possibility they may be used as, quote, weapons, unquote. The flags themselves have become a symbol for the community and a well-known image during the tournament. A video on the Herald website shows a police officer taking a pole off a young kid while another young kid looks on. The video is disheartening and unnerving as you witness the silencing of these children, both by the removal of something physical that they have used to express their support and their joy, but also the silencing simply by the presence of a powerful authoritative figure conducting the removal of that object. Those who have criticised the move see it as people having preconceived notions that brown children are violent and is an act of prejudice and racism. Sina Brown-Davis was celebrating the success of the Tongan Rugby League World Cup team on Saturday night with her 15-year-old daughter. They had Tongan flags with them, her daughter had a flag on a pole. They were approached by police officers and told they were allowed to keep the flags but not the pole because it could be used as a weapon. Brown-Davis said this was racist policing and One News filmed the interaction without her permission. It has since garnered many views online and the responses have been both critical of Brown-Davis as well as the police. I spoke with Sina about the racial profiling by the police in this instance. Were you having quite of a celebratory night before the police got involved?
Actually, we were at home because I'm a local resident. I live in Otahuhu. So my daughter and I wanted to go and celebrate with our community. We're also part Tongan as well. So we both got our flags. My daughter had her flag on a flagpole and I had one tied around me. So we went up to join our local community because the community has been celebrating after each game of the World Cup in Otahuhu. It was pretty shocking when we got up the road. We saw that all the roads were blocked off. And the police presence was, like, huge.
Had it been like that every game?
No, not at every game. At every other game, there had been a lot more people. So on this past Saturday, there had been probably more police. I think it was about 200 police up the road there. It's, like, pretty full-on. Lots of, like, police vans, lots of paddy wagons. So it was pretty intimidating.
And how did they go about starting to collect the flagpoles?
We'd noticed them just like going up to people. They'd snapped some people's flagpoles. My daughter and I walked around up and down the street just to see if there were more people there. We were crossing the road towards the McDonald's car park, and in the middle of the road the police stopped my daughter and asked for her flagpole, for her flag. And then I asked the policeman the reason why, and the policeman said the reason why because it could be used as a weapon, and I got quite upset. My daughter's like 15 years old. She's a Māori Tongan Samoan young woman. She's the most loveliest, passive person I know, you know. So for the police like to take the flagpole off her flag and to like assume that, like, she could commit violence with it. I found it really upsetting and really racist.
Was there any, you know, were people actually using them as weapons, or was it there?
No, there was no aggravation on the street. I could understand the heavy police presence because it was mainly families with their little kids. Nobody was using anything as a weapon. The police were, like, saying that they were, like, wanted to preempt anything happening. But these were, like, children and young teenagers. They were confiscating flagpoles or sticks that people had put their flags on. Nothing had happened.
When you called them racist, what happened then?
I said that this was, like, an example of racist over-policing. And, of course, the police go, oh, no, this is not racist. I mean, and it obviously was in its application because they would not treat another community. They would not treat other people that weren't Pacific Islanders or weren't Maldives in this manner. I mean, just treating our young kids like that's really upsetting because what they did in effect was like to first racially profile them and then criminalise them as if all our like little babies and our young women have the potential to commit violence when actually on the day they were the ones that were intimidating and they were the ones that like committed violence on our young people. And kids.
This video has gone viral, basically, and it's gone on news articles. I found it particularly interesting that they put racist in quotation marks as though it was, you know, questionable that it was racist. But have you had any response?
I've been looking at the response on Facebook on the One Network news page, and it's been actually quite horrifying. And I think you get hammered if you call out racism in this country, so I'm staying away from the comments. I also don't appreciate that the One Network news people never told me that they were filming for a news item and never asked my express permission that my daughter and I and our images could be used. So in some ways I sort of feel like they're working with the police, like to target me for calling the police out on their racism. I also had some great comments from a human rights lawyer, Richard Francois, and he said that the police had no grounds to confiscate the pole. No crime was being committed or being attempted to be committed, or there was no conspiracy to commit one. It was the police that were inciting and that they were the ones that were committing a crime. So I'm annoyed and upset about a lot of the things that happened on the night, so I'm going to channel that into like a formal complaint. So I'll be complaining about like the police operation and about how our young people were treated on the day. It was horrible because, like, there was only, like, mainly, like, little babies, little kids and stuff like that. I spent my life trying to protect my daughters from racism. And what I realised on Saturday night, I can't protect them from that. As a mother, it's like, you know, you want to protect your babies from all the worst things, you know, around. And I can't protect them from that. I can't protect them from the police looking at my daughter because she's got dark skin and she's really tall. I can't protect her from them, like, profiling her. Mm. I can't protect her from any of that. But I can teach her how to fight, and they're going to rue the day they picked on my baby.
So around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.